This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series entitled, Now is the Time to Protect Every Innocent Human Life. And you may think, well, the Supreme Court ruled in the Dobbs decision and struck down Roe versus Wade. So why are you talking about this? But we're talking about this because abortions are still happening, and they're especially happening in the state of Florida. In fact, they're not going down, they're going up. And part of the reason they're going up is that more people are coming to this state for an abortion vacation. They have taken time off of work, they've taken time off of school perhaps, and they have paid their travel expenses to come down here for one purpose, and that is to pay an abortionist to rip their baby piece from piece, piece by piece, or to pay an abortionist to prescribe medication that will cause their baby to die, and then a second pill that will cause them to have a violent delivery where they will deliver their own child in the toilet, and the water will wash the blood off of the child, and they'll actually see their own baby in the toilet. You know, there are pro-life pregnancy centers throughout this state that are having women come in who have had one of these chemical abortions with their baby in their hands, asking, "What do I do? I didn't know that they," and you know, the abortion clinics lie. They lie to these women. They tell them it's just a blob of tissue. This isn't really, it's just a clump of cells. This isn't really a human being. And yet the women are delivering their baby, which is very clearly a human being who was very clearly alive before the abortion and would still be alive if they hadn't had the abortion. And so we have a growing number of abortions in our state, and it is time for the church to rise up and to call for our government, for our legislature, for the governor, for our county commissioners, for our city council members, to take a stand to protect every innocent human life without exception. And you would think that most churches would be behind that. Yet we know that some churches actually don't believe the Bible anymore, and some churches are afraid to speak on certain issues because they know that people will complain if they speak on these issues. And rather than being more concerned about pleasing God and honoring God, sadly, some churches pay more attention to what the people say and the people that want to have their ears tickled. And we need to be people, the pulpits need to be aflame with righteousness, calling people to repent of their sins. And the really, one of the reasons that people complain is that about 2/3 of all abortions that happen in this state and in all the other states come from people who sit in the pews, who claim to be Christians. So we have people that are sitting in the pews of churches who have have paid an abortionist to kill their baby, and some of those people, many of those people, haven't come to grips that what they did was a sin and haven't repented of that sin. And one of the reasons they haven't repented of that sin is because their pastor has refused to preach on that and to call them to repent and to show that this is a sin. And really what needs to happen is for the pulpits, for pastors, to proclaim the full counsel of God and to show this sin, to call this a sin, and to call their people to repent of allowing this to happen and even participating in this. And really, it is only then, only when these women and the men who have participated in abortion realize that they have sinned and are convicted by the Holy Spirit because the Word of God has been preached and proclaimed, and we have preached and proclaimed that Word. We are created in God's image, and because we are created in God's image, every human being should be recognized and protected. And really, we need to see this happen. And when the word of God goes forth, the pastors are proclaiming God's truth on this issue, which is that every human life is sacred and abortion is murder. And God calls us to repent of our sins. It is only when the Word of God goes forth that really, and really the Bible says that when God's Word goes forth, it doesn't return void. When God's Word goes forth, it goes forth with power, and the Holy Spirit can then convict women and men of their sin of abortion and grant them a spirit of repentance so that they might turn from their wicked ways, so that they might so that God can forgive them and set them free from the bondage of going through life. You know, there are women and men going through life hoping that no one finds out, hoping that no one finds out that they participated in abortion, hoping that no one realizes what sinners they are, rather than confessing their sins before God and calling for and allowing God to forgive them of their sins and set them free from that sin. And even with praying to God and asking God to forgive, the hurt of knowing that you participated and actually paid for and actually consented to, in most circumstances, in most situations, the death of your own child carries with it a huge weight. And there are pro-life pregnancy centers across this state, across this nation, and even in our own community that can help, that can provide biblical counseling and Bible studies that can help people that have been through abortion receive not only the forgiveness of Jesus, but be able to accept that forgiveness, to know that their sins are washed away, that they are made clean. And so this is really the hesitancy that we see in the pulpit. But you would think that pro-life organizations and pro-family organizations would also all be working to protect every single innocent human being without exception. Yet before the Dobbs decision, some of these pro-life organizations and pro-family organizations didn't do so because of the Roe versus Wade. And they said, well, our hands are tied. We can't actually do this. And now that, and they said, we don't think we can win at the Supreme Court. Now that we have won at the Supreme Court, they still are not doing anything to protect every innocent human life. They haven't taken the stand to call for the abolition of abortion and Not just in some circumstances, but in every circumstance, there is never a reason to kill a preborn child purposely. Never a reason to slice a baby's arms and legs off and crush her skull and remove her body from her mother's womb. There's never a reason to do that. Not even to save the life of a baby or of the mother. There's never a reason. Certainly there are some times where surgery is necessary. There are some times where premature delivery is necessary. There are some times where what needs to happen is the baby, maybe some medical treatment that may harm the baby, but the intended result there is to protect the life of the mother. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes doctors can't save both lives, but every time doctors should seek to save both lives, both the lives of the mother and the life of their preborn child. And it is time for the church to rise up and to demand that every innocent human life be protected. And really, it is time for pro-lifers to stop supporting organizations that are refusing to protect and to work to protect every innocent human life, and to instead support organizations that are working to protect every innocent human life. By the way, Personhood Florida, you can go to personhoodfl.com, and on your computer, on your smartphone, click on Get Petition. There is a pro-life constitutional amendment petition that is on that website where you can actually get this. You can download it, you can print it, you can sign it, mail it in, print additional copies, and let your friends know about this. Let your pastor know about this. Let fellow members of your church know about this. Collect petition signatures. Let's get this on the ballot so that we can work to protect every innocent human life, so that we can go to the polls, Floridians can go to the polls and have a vote and have the opportunity to vote to protect every innocent human life. But some of these organizations don't think we can win at the polls. And so because they don't think we can win at the polls, they are not actually doing anything to work, and they're not supporting the petitioning effort, and in fact some of them have even opposed the petitioning effort to collect the petition signatures to get on the ballot because they think we'll lose. And we talked last week from Hebrews chapter 11 that without faith it is impossible to please God. This has been known, this chapter has been known and called the Hall of Faith. And really, it is a premier league. And it's one that, by the way, you can live a life of faith. We don't have to live a life of fear. We don't have to live a cowardly life, to be afraid of what people will say about us, to be afraid of what our parishioners might say, to be afraid of what our friends might say, to be afraid of what coworkers might say or family members might say, to be afraid of what might happen, even to be afraid of what the voters might say. We are called by God, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. We are called by God not necessarily to be successful. We are called to be obedient. Mother Teresa said that she wasn't called to be successful. She was called to be faithful. Yet I would think that most people would look at her work and consider that what she did was a success. Yet there are people, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, there are people in the Bible, there are people that God called to do a specific task. and even told them that they would not be successful in carrying out that task, yet they were to be obedient to him and do so anyway. And Hebrews chapter 11 is actually filled with many people who had faith that God was going to do great things, that God was going to bring the children of Israel into the promised land, for instance. Some of those didn't see that with their own eyes. Certainly Abraham didn't see that with his own eyes. Jacob did not see that with his own eyes. We also know that Moses didn't see it with his own eyes. Joseph didn't see it with his own eyes. But they all looked and they believed God. They took God at his word. They believed that he would do it. And their work and their faith brought about, was a part of bringing the children of Israel into the promised land. And we talked last week about many of those great men and women of faith who believed God and took him at his word and were willing to do what God had called them to do, regardless of what actually happened. But they had faith that God was going to do what he said that he was going to do and would give them the victory. And we're going to pick this up, Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 30. And in verse 30, we see, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Now, you may recall the historical account of the city of Jericho. And really, what had happened with Jericho, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt 40 years earlier. So after 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, and of course God did great and mighty exploits to the Egyptians, so much so that 40 years later, the people of Jericho were afraid of the nation of Israel because they had heard about the exploits that God had done. And so rather than, and by the way, the children of Israel, there was a lot of them. There was about 1 million men, but Jericho was a city with walls. It was protected and it was closed up. And really, God told them to walk around it. And they walked around it the first day and nothing happened. And they walked around it the second day and nothing happened. And they were supposed to be quiet. And the third day they walked around it and nothing happened. And the fourth day they walked around it and nothing happened. And the fifth day and the sixth day. And then the seventh day they walked around it 7 times. And on the 7th time they blew the trumpets and they shouted and the walls came down. They did that by faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho came down after they were encircled for 7 days. Verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. So Rahab, who was a harlot, a prostitute, was actually brought into the family of God and adopted as a Israelite and is listed in the Hall of Faith because she hid the spies and she gave them intelligence and she was a part of letting them, giving them the information that they needed to be able to take the city. And so she is listed here in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fires, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And we're actually going to talk, we might not get to it this week, but if not, we'll talk about it next week. We'll actually go through the story of Gideon, because he was someone that he was the least, his father's clan was the least of the children of Manasseh, one of the tribes of Israel, and he was the least of his father's clan. And he said, how can I do this? And you know that people came to him and were gathered to him to fight. And God said, hey, these are too many. Send them away. Because they're going to say, by my hand, we defeated the enemy. And we'll talk about that, how God whittled it down to just 300 men. And they were the start of the victory. And we also see here Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and you can read, and hopefully you're reading the Bible and you know about these stories. David, you know, some of the stories of him, you know, taking on a giant. It would, no one in their right mind would say that David could win that fight. But David had faith that God would give him the power and the ability to take down that giant and to kill that giant who was defying the armies of Israel and defying God. And he said that, God, who is this Philistine who dares to speak and to revile God? And he picked up those stones and he took his sling and he hit the mark with that first stone and used the giant's own sword to chop off his head. And God brought about a great victory for the children of Israel when all of the other people, the people that really were more capable than David of doing that, were actually afraid and shaking in their boots. David, a little teenager, a scrawny kid, actually took on the giant and brought him down. And they subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fires, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And then in verse 35, we see that not everyone saw the success that everyone else in the Hall of Faith saw. It says in verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. You know, the persecution that we see in America, for the most part, for most people, it's small, it's minuscule compared to what Christians have had to go through, and really the believers of God have had to go through throughout the ages. I mean, just look at the disciples. Many of them, Peter was crucified upside down. Many of them were stoned. Stephen was stoned. John, the Apostle John, was actually stoned. Paul was stoned and left for dead one time. The Apostle John one time was boiled in oil and actually still lived. And we see these people that were willing to actually face death. And we see here that some were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and chains and imprisonment. So some of them were put into jail and to prison for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to honor God and to follow God, even if it means that you will be actually arrested for doing so? And he says, still others had trials of mocking, scourging, yes, and chains and imprisonment. Verse 37, they were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Certainly people wouldn't look at someone in that condition and say their life was successful. And yet they're mentioned here, not by name, but because of what they did, mentioned in the hall of faith, because they were obedient to God. They did what God called them to do, and they left the results to God, and they were willing to suffer reproach for the testimony of God. They were willing to partake in the suffering of Jesus Christ. And in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. May it be said, if we stand for life and we are rejected, may it be said that the world was not worthy of us, but we are going to do our part. We should do what is right to protect every innocent human life. In verse 39, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And so there is a testimony that not everyone will receive the promise here on this earth, but everyone is called to be obedient and to be faithful to God, and we need to stand. We need to protect every innocent human life without exception, without compromise. We need to see abortion end. We need to protect the preborn in the womb. We need to protect the human beings that are being created in laboratories in our state. We need to protect the disabled, and we need to protect the elderly in our state. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after His death, His disciples would fast, and He didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
I won't be afraid. I'm calling out your name.